Welcome to the Rooted in Change podcast.
Hey everyone, my name is Jan and you're listening to the Rooted in Change podcast. This show features European clean tech champions and their solutions to tackle the climate crisis. Today's guest is Jan, CRO at Kova. Kova has developed a heat storage system that is based on phase change materials. And we discussed the power of those materials already in a previous episode. So if you're interested, listen to that one as well. Kova provides cost-efficient and compact heat storage solutions, and we'll learn today more about how this works, what the applications are, and how far they've come on their journey. Welcome, Jan.
Hey, hi, Jan. Nice meeting you, and thanks for having me on the podcast.
Well, it's a pleasure. The first question that I always ask my guests is, who are you as a person? So who are you? Tell me.
Yeah, thanks a lot. So as you already mentioned, I'm the CRO at Kova, which means I'm responsible for all of our marketing and sales activities. Furthermore, I'm developing the most suitable go-to-market strategy for Kova as a young company in the field of thermal energy storage systems. My background is originally mechanical engineering. After my bachelor's degree, I worked in the industry for a while and then decided to do a master's degree in data science. I always appreciated the combination of different engineering fields, so I was actively seeking a bit of a change to mechanical engineering. And this is how I ended up in data science, and last but not least, also in the role that I am holding now at Kova.
Lovely. And then I already mentioned Kova in the intro. In your own words, how would you describe what does the company do? So sort of in a nutshell, what's the problem that you're tackling?
The problem that we are tackling, you know, since let's say 5 to 10 years, I would say, depending on the market, heat pumps, renewable energies, and in general, more sustainable heating systems are picking up against fossil driven systems. With this development, the importance of energy storage becomes higher and higher. Not only do heat pumps require more thermal storages, but the integration of renewable electricity systems lead to a higher demand. Now, the problem is that existing thermal storage technologies are quite bulky and get voluminous very easily. This is a problem since most of the heating systems installed are actually in refurbishment. So the installers and planners face the challenge that they need to bring in large storage tanks into buildings where previously no storage at all was installed. So this is a complexity that certainly makes a barrier for decarbonization of heating systems. And this problem is what we are tackling at Kova. So we are offering very compact, easy to install, and also easy to bring into an existing building system. So not only the compactness of the technology, but also features in the product design leads to very compact systems.
Okay, and maybe we can talk about this in just a second, sort of what's unique about the the compactness. But did I understand you correctly that your core market is the existing building portfolio, and sort of with the rise of renewables, the need for storage has increased, but the existing building portfolio wasn't designed for was designed to be equipped with storage solutions, right? So you need something that you can actually retrofit into these buildings with a very limited space. Is that the correct summary?
Exactly, yes. So we can certainly also cover, you know, new buildings with our storage systems. Right. But we just saw that the value of compactness is especially there in refurbishment, because existing structures, then it's always very complicated, you know, to bring in an additional storage. And this is where we create the most value.
Right. And are there certain types of buildings that are particularly interesting to you where sort of storage makes a whole lot of sense? I think when I learned first about phase change materials, the use case was, for example, for shopping malls because they use a lot of AC, but are only open during sort of peak shopping hours, right? Sort of 8 till 8 maybe. So sort of there's the other half of the day that's completely unused. So using buildings that function or have a very fluctuating energy demand was a good use case for to bring in energy storage to balance this need out. How does this look for you?
Well, this is certainly also an application. However, what we saw, you have to imagine a multifamily building, let's say in an urban area where nowadays gas systems are installed. Gas systems are fossil driven, but they are very, very compact. So if you want to decarbonize that system and install, let's say, a heat pump, there the space requirements are extremely tight. So this is somehow the sweet spot for us where we see the main application in the future.
Right. So your focus is more also on the residential market compared to the other company that I was talking to.
Exactly. To begin with, this is the residential application is the most interesting one, because we also see that this is the biggest and the largest market where also some sort of standardization can make sense.
Right.
Because, like showering, for example, everybody needs similar temperatures, whereas industrial and commercial applications, the temperature there can quite vary. So, we went for the largest standardizable application to begin with.
And I guess it's similar to what we've seen sort of in the PV market, right, where certain standards have been established, so it's easier for you to bring the standardized product to the market compared to what you just described in the industrial and commercial applications, where it's always very, well, niche applications of very specific conditions.
Exactly, this is correct.
Right. How does your business model then work? So who do you sell your technology to?
So we are a pure B2B company. Our main targets are resellers that integrate our storage systems into their portfolio of heating system components. So additionally, we are having multiple collaborations with large manufacturers as well. Manufacturers of heating components, where we integrate our technology into their products in a joint collaboration. So we are having, on one hand, we are having the standardized products that we are selling to resellers of components. And then we also have a customized line where we do joint collaboration with manufacturers.
Okay, understood. And then maybe now is the time that we go back to the technology part that you mentioned before, where you said it's the compactness was one feature. So maybe to go to the very foundation of the tech, how does it work, right? I mentioned in the intro that it's phase change materials. So how do you actually store energy? What's sort of the in the grand scheme of things, how does the technology work? And then maybe we can go into the compactness once more, sort of how you ensured that the compactness was achieved and I guess became one of your USPs to sell to your customers.
Yeah, so as you mentioned, our core technology are the so-called phase change materials. And the phase change there refers to the physical transition of a material between the solid and the liquid state. So you have to imagine our storage is like a block of salt that is rock solid at room temperature. And then when heating up the storage, in example, with a heat pump, the salt begins to melt. And in this process, a very large amount of heat is absorbed and stored for later use. And when discharging the storage, the salt begins to solidify again and releases the heat, an example, to the heating distribution of a building or for taking a hot shower. So our breakthrough really is that we are able to produce and deliver salt that melt and solidify on various temperature levels. And depending on the object and the application, we can deliver the temperature level that's.
Okay, understood. And then, as you mentioned, salt, I don't think I was aware of this before. This is obviously another really important aspect of your technology, right? Because I would assume that the salt is relatively easy to source compared to other raw materials that are normally used for battery storage applications as well, right? So isn't that another USP that we haven't mentioned during this conversation just yet, that you're not reliant on raw materials that are not abundantly available.
Absolutely, and I'm glad that you are bringing that up. So it's not only compared to electrical batteries. So our salts are mostly sourced in the food industry. So they are also available, at a very large quantity, which certainly helps to scale the product. But also compared to other companies that are doing phase change materials, we are working exclusively with salt hydrates. And they have two main advantages over other types of PCMs. And the advantages are they are available at rather low cost because they are coming from the food industry. And at the same time, they are offering very large capacity. So the heat capacity that you can store in a salt hydrate is way higher than with other types of PCMs.
Understood. This is always the moment when you tell me, like, salt is relatively cheap, it's abundantly available, and it has a great storage capacity. That's always sort of the moment where I ask myself, why did not anyone see this before? So sort of what was the moment in time, or sort of the moment in Kova's history where you realized, oh wow, we're onto something and no one else is seeing or building this? Sort of what's the secret sauce that was brought to the table in order to actually develop a technology out of it and bring that to the market?
So yeah, no, we are certainly not the only company in the world doing something like this with salt hydrates. However, you need to know we have around 14 years of experience in these kind of materials. So our journey began at the Lucerne University, where we started researching in those materials. And then I would say, right around the company foundation, some 4 or 5 years ago, we realized, okay, we have a combination of people as well, from chemistry backgrounds over mechanical engineering backgrounds and thermodynamics, where we saw, okay, this is a combination where we can create materials that are very unique to the market out there. So I think this was the moment where we saw, okay, we are onto something here.
Okay, gotcha. And then we talked about sort of the compactness before. What's the secret sauce to make the solution so compact? If I were to guess from what I've heard now, is it that because salt has such a good storage capacity that you're able, compared to other types of storage solutions that are out there, able to bring the right storage capacity at a lower bulkiness, so to say? Is that the right assessment?
Yeah, it's correct. I mean, the main reason for the compactness lies in technology that we are using the phase change, which this is pure physics, right? The phase change simply offers more thermal capacity than legacy systems. And then there are other aspects as well, like the product design, for example. So we are able to build cubic shaped storage systems. And that alone also offers a space advantage because if you compare that to the cylindrical tanks that don't really fit the room with 90 degree angles, so the product design as well is accounting for even more compactness.
Maybe just on that, because I think this is a very interesting observation and good point. And for those listeners that don't have the physics background, why are those tanks cylindrical? Because you could envision also a point where you have cubic shaped tanks, but why are they the way why they shape the way they are?
They are always shaped cylindrical way because they are pressurized. So it's way easier to build a pressurized cylinder than a pressurized cube. This is then again a mechanical engineering problem.
Yeah, but that makes a whole lot of
To
sense.
get a cube sealed versus pressure is quite tricky.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. That's a good point. And I think this is a really interesting, again, concept, right? But that you think about when you start first developing the technology, you probably always start from the material, you know, from the salts and from the phase change materials. But then when it comes to the actual application and selling the product to the market, having a product that fills the room much more efficiently, especially when there's limited space available, this is not something to think about in the first place, but it becomes such an important argument when having those conversations, I would assume, especially in buildings and the residential buildings where space is always limited. You don't just want to have wasted space due to a cylinder. You'd rather than go for the cubic shaped form that might fit your home more perfectly.
Exactly. And I mean, funny enough, we started with cylindrical shapes as well, because we were simply not aware of that. You know, advantage that we could potentially offer.
And I guess it's because it's the industry standard, right? Like storage tanks look like storage tanks and they're cylindrical.
Exactly. And then you're going out there and you think your technology is actually what you want to sell. But then you realize, okay, the technology also offers other advantages. We are able to build them in a cubic shape. We are able to have the connectors to the whole system like on top, rather than on the side, which gives you another footprint advantage and space advantage. So those are the little things that you learn when going out to the market.
Right. As we just talked about going out, you know, we talked about the business model, who you sell to. One thing that I realized in preparing for today's interview is somehow right now you receive a lot of attention and a lot of awards, which is great, right? Like sort of it's not just the market that seems to recognize your traction, but also sort of third parties, maybe the public more in general. I'm wondering sort of, maybe you have an answer to this, maybe not. What's changed? Because I would say sort of this year, especially, you know, we're recording now in May, the first 4 months of the year, there's been a lot of awards for you and sort of a lot of traction. So somehow this year, especially, something has clicked and maybe you know what this is. I'd be interested in hearing your point of view.
Yeah, sometimes it's hard to say if something clicked and why. I mean, it's certainly also time, you know, we are telling our story for 2 to 3 years now, and sometimes it takes a while until it clicks. But like in a broader view, and on a higher level, it is certainly that the whole industry is now realizing and recognizing that more compact storage systems are very important and can be a key factor in getting the energy transition done. So yeah, I think it's two things that we just worked on the market and in marketing good enough that we are recognized now, but also the higher level and the broader picture that is now well recognized that we need as a society more compact storage systems for urban areas.
Yeah, I think it's a good assessment to say, look, it's a twofold situation that we invested into marketing and, you know, creating the market and working on our positioning and making sure people know about us. And at the same time, that society in general, the larger public, has understood and finally has recognized the need for storage solutions. Maybe that's an interesting follow-up question on that. Has the war in Ukraine, sort of when that started in 22, did that also lead to sort of a higher increase in inbound inquiries for you to sort of say, look, now, you know, you've been working on this for some time, but that moment was, I guess, from a climate tech company's perspective, that work in, you know, resilience, energy storage, often a catalyst to say, now we get a whole lot more attention. How was that for you?
Yeah, no, we definitely saw an increase in interest after the war started. I mean, this is a terrible situation, but on the other hand, it showed our society that our reliance on gas, on foreign gas, is not a very resilient thing to do for us. And that is really about time now to decarbonize our heating systems and switch to a more renewable and more sustainable solution. So that did something on the market. Yes, we saw definitely an increase in interest after the war started, after the gas and energy crisis.
Yeah, it's you're right. Like it's such a weird conundrum that on the one hand, such horrible things happen in European soil, and at the same time, for the businesses, you know, that's unfortunately that was the moment a lot of them finally received the attention that they deserved, whilst, you know, telling the same story that they've been telling for the last 5 to 10 years before that as well. So sort of it's an interesting, also from then the PR, from my PR lenses, you know, we were pitching those stories before. People weren't really interested. Out of a sudden, sort of, things changed dramatically, and then people are interested, and it's like, yeah, the story is the same. Maybe it just didn't matter to you before, and now it matters. And that sort of it was a frustrating and yet, in that sense, rewarding experience that finally companies like Kova and others received the attention that they deserved.
Yeah, I agree.
I want to move on to sort of, we talked about, you know, the awards, the traction that you have. What's next for you? So sort of, you described your journey. You started as a spin-off out of university. Now you have, you sell your product to customers, and describe the business model as being this twofold angled of, you know, selling to resellers or integrating it into more individualized products. So what's next? Where do you want to go from this position of strength?
Yes, so in terms of partnerships, we were able to win the largest reseller now in the first quarter of 2025, the largest reseller in Switzerland, to jointly launch the product on our domestic market. So this definitely marked a milestone in our journey. Now we just learned at the recent exhibition in Frankfurt that we saw a lot of interest from, especially from the Benelux countries, so Belgium, Netherlands, and Luxembourg. And we learned that the space requirements in these countries are extremely tight, and compact solutions can create a lot of value there.
Right.
So we are now in the process of building partnerships there as well and expand into other markets. So while obviously working on the Swiss market, and we're going to continue that, but we want to expand now with our standardized products into different markets.
Right. And I would also assume that the Swiss home market is too small in the long run for you. So it makes sense to internationalize the company, especially when there are other markets where space requirements are so tight, and then the requirements are probably very similar, so you don't need to adjust the product massively. But it makes sense to internationalize to Benelux. And
absolutely, yeah, and especially with our standardized product. I mean, what we did for a while now is also having those collaborations that I mentioned with manufacturers. There we have collaborations like, yeah, almost global. So we sold to Europe, obviously, North America, and also to Asia. So there we already have a global and an international collaborations. And now we are seeking for sales channels as well with the standardized product.
Okay, gotcha. And if we were to look 3 to 5 years ahead, because that's somehow the almost the timeline that, you know, looking back, that Kova was founded and it really started to take off to now, and then 3 to 5 years ahead, where do you think the company will be?
Well, the vision of the company really is to set phase change materials as the new standard way of storing energy in our buildings and really set new standards here. So I would definitely expect that in 5 years, we are quite closer to that, to achieving that vision than we are now. And maybe in a more specific way, we definitely are expanded into all of Europe and North America in 5 years. And I would really expect to have multiple manufacturers to have COVA PCM technology integrated in their serial products.
Exciting times ahead.
Yeah, I guess.
And then my last and final question to my guests is always, well, let me start with a reflection first, because we talked so much about the business, right? And so much sort of is happening. And from a tech point of view, just you shared in the beginning your own journey as an engineer, to work on those materials and, to how you worked in different shapes and the progress and so on. And like you mentioned that you just signed a big deal in Switzerland. All this is super important on a day-to-day business, and you invest so much time and energy into Kova and scaling the company and now going international. So like it's so monumental what you're doing there, and so important. And at the same time, the challenge that we're facing, and we talked about before. We talked about the war in Ukraine, and we talked sort of in the subtext about the climate crisis more in general. People realize that we need storage solutions to store more renewable energy and to balance the grid. The progress at times, at least for me, doesn't feel fast enough. I would, and I guess this is also startup life. You wanted these partnerships probably a year ago, and you would love to be in Benelux tomorrow and have those sales channels. So sort of there's always this these different scales, and that I feel can at times be hard to navigate, sort of the monstrosity of the issues that we're facing working in a still relatively small company, bringing a completely new technology to the market. There are easier things. You could choose an easier path, an easier life. That's sort of the summary, I guess, where I'm heading at. So what is it that makes you get up in the morning and say, look, I'm going to sit at my desk today again as the CRO of Kova and do my very best to make this company successful? So what is it that makes you get up in the morning?
I think it really is, you mentioned it. I think the energy transition in general is probably the greatest challenge of our generation. The greatest challenge of our generation. So our parents built a lot of wealth for us in Europe, and we have the privilege to be growing up in a very stable environment. And now our task is to keep that wealth and keep that well-being while building the whole thing in a sustainable way now. And being part of that journey and doing my part to achieve that goal is really what gets me up in the morning. Like, I think this is a very interesting journey in general. And then again, like, working in a startup, I could also go to, a bigger company and like
Exactly.
a corporation. I could always do that. But working in a startup really connects me to an enormous amount of interesting people. So the amount of people that I had the honor and the privilege to get to know over the last few years is absolutely amazing. And I think that motivates me a lot. So we have a very talented team as well, like Kova internally, but also me as being the CRO, I work a lot like externally as well. And I get to know so many interesting people. And this is what is part of what motivates me more.
Yeah, and I guess the one aspect that you again just said in the subtext, I'm putting this out as a question, but compared to those corporate careers, you're able to action your influence right away, right? Like as the CRO, there's only a limited amount of people that you have to answer to, and I guess yes, you work in an integrated team. There's probably a lot of people that you talk to internally and so on. But in a corporation, in a large corporation, there would always be someone else that would be needed to sign off your decisions, and that just slows it down and takes a whole lot longer. But for you, you're able to move and steer the ship super fast, and your decisions matters. So I think also in that respect, it's probably a very rewarding activity to be doing.
Definitely, yeah. I mean, I don't know if I would have the amount of responsibility or influence in a large corporation, looking at my age. So I got the opportunity to have a very influential position at a very young age. And I think that teaches you a lot. So I can only learn from that. And I do learn from that every day. So this is really exciting, yeah.
I mentioned before this would have been my last question, so now I asked already one more. I'm going to ask a final one, just following up on that. If you look back, as you just mentioned this, you didn't that as there are still a relatively young age, you probably would not have the same career in a corporate. So what is it that the role as the CRO has taught you, or sort of what was something that you learned that maybe surprised you, or that you just didn't know before starting the role?
Well, I wouldn't say I'm super surprised by that fact, but what I'm thinking about a lot is how long it can take to win a corporation as a customer. So there are so many people involved on like my opposite side, being in sales. This is really tremendous. And then you have on the opposite side, it's a large corporation that takes a lot of time, but when they are doing it, they are doing it right. So it just takes a lot of time for us to convince them to work with us. And then I see us being a startup where everything is super fast. So this is just a huge difference in how companies can work, like being a startup and then seeing a corporation. And this is what keeps my position interesting as well.
I think that's a very good point to end this on. Yeah, it's lovely, or it's interesting to see how corporates move at their own speed, and they're needed to drive this energy transition together with us. But what leaves me hopeful is that you're able to win the right, like this what you mentioned before as well. You're able to sign those contracts, and out of a sudden, the energy transition will be accelerated because your solution is part of a bigger network and part of a bigger impact. And I think this is the great part that we see with a lot of climate tech companies. Yes, it takes, unfortunately, longer than we all would want to for corporates to move, but then it finally does happen, and that impact is created jointly. And that is something that, keeps me hopeful and keeps me going.
Same here, yeah.
Yeah, lovely talking to you. Really enjoyed the conversation. All the best for the future. I'll be cheering for Kova, and thank you so much for making the time today.
Really appreciate it. Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me. I'm really looking forward to the future and further collaborations. Thanks a
Bye
lot.
bye.